PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Tour Edge. Their Exotics golf ball offers a three-piece cast urethane cover with 318 dimples that promotes solid launch off the tee and great greenside action without sacrificing feel. The high-speed Kinetochore promotes big distance and stability through the wind, which is something I am always looking for. Check them out at touredge.com. Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is our great friend of the show. You know him as Master Michael Yagley. And today he's brought company. He's brought a friend with him. So rather than me introduce, Michael, welcome back and tell us what you have for show and tell today.
Thank you, Daniel. And this one's a crazy one. So my buddy there, Scott, who he'll introduce himself in a minute. I've known him for a couple of decades now, and we're really good friends. He must have been about 7 months ago, calls me up and goes, I'm thinking about doing this trip. Because, you know, it's a 100th anniversary of Route 66, and it'd be a great golf trip, and it'd be super fun. I'm like, that sounds great. I hope you have a good time, Scott. Like, I'm sure you're going to enjoy yourself. And then he calls me, I don't know, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, goes, well, you want to go? And I look at my wife, and she says, yeah, do it. So we are going to take 2 weeks plus to go from Chicago to Santa Monica on Route 66 and play golf and see the big ball of twine, check out the barbed wire museum, see the Cadillacs buried in the turf. We're going to do it all. So I'm super excited about it. Mr. Walsh, you want to give us some more background on you and this situation? Yeah,
Mike's right. We've known each other for a little over 2 decades now. We met at Callaway Golf. Mike was the senior vice president of golf ball development. I was the public relations manager. Prior to that, I'd been at Cobra Golf, of course, where Mike's familiar with as well, and started out my career in the golf industry with as the director of public relations for the golf division at Wilson Sporting Goods in Chicago. I'm from Chicago originally, born and raised. So a couple of Midwestern guys.
Well, that's great. And so I get a call out of the blue. I'm sitting at my golf course having dinner from my friend Mike, and usually when he calls, I answer. Like, I just feel like if he's calling me, something weird or interesting is happening, and it's like an obligation to answer. So I get like the 10-minute elevator on what the plan is. But at that point, it was very unclear. It's like we have a pathway. We just don't know, you know, what's in our way as we go through it. So I think the important question is, how does this get started, like realistically? I know it's like, hey, it's 100 years, whatever. How does this like really sink its teeth in? Who goes nuts to start?
Well, the original idea came to me. I was reading a copy of AAA's Westways magazine, which I'm a AAA member, and it was their monthly magazine. And there was this little one-page article about this being the 100th anniversary of Route 66. And I've always been intrigued by Route 66. I like Americana. I like the U.S. history. And I obviously love golf. And so I actually originally reached out to my buddy Tony, who's going to be joining us, because he and I had done this trip to Ireland back in 1998. And he liked the idea too. And so, you know, it's a big chunk of time, but we're going to see some incredible parts of America. We're going to play some terrific golf courses, and I think we're going to have a blast. And very shortly after I had the idea, I came up with some rules, and there's not a lot of rules, but they're significant. But we've got to play at least one round of golf in every state. And Route 66 winds through 8 states. It's hard to count Kansas. It's only in Kansas for like 17 miles, but we're still counting Kansas. We cannot stay in any chain hotels. So no Marriott's, no Hilton's. We're only going to stay in those little motels and drive-ins that dot the Route 66 landscape. Same thing for food. We're not going to eat in any Hardee's or In-N-Outs or McDonald's or anything like that. It's all those little diners and dives that follow Route 66 from Chicago to Santa Monica. And it's going to be a blast. Might be challenging at some times, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And we can eat at golf courses. That's fair game. So that's it. It's not going to be hard to follow the rules, it's going to be hard to figure out what's worth stopping to see, what's not, how are we going to do this and still make our tee time. So we'll figure it out. I think it's going to, a lot of the pieces are going to fall into place once we hit the road, which is a week from Monday, September 14th.
So obviously I have questions right out of the gate. And the first part of that is you have this idea to stay localized and to really experience the small culture of the trip, which I think is great. I think it's incredibly fun. But then I assume you're also looking at the golf as what are the big ones? We got to hit some big, big golf courses on the way. Or are you looking at something like the oldest courses in a given city? What's the focus from the golf side of things?
Mike, you want to talk to that?
A mix, right? So as I'm reading and ChatGPTing, like there's some that are like, you've got to play this golf course, right? And there's some, it's like, it's just been around for a long, long time. Pick the one right about in the middle. What's Harold Irwin's course in Kansas? What's the name of that place, Scott?
Braxton Springs. It's a 9-hole course. Fitting for Kansas being the shortest stretch of Route 66.
Yeah. So that's a must play, right? There's a couple courses that are listed in Missouri that are off the beaten path. Tiger Woods got a course about maybe an hour off the beaten path and says that's a must play. As I call up my list. So it is a mix of historic and they're just beautiful. Scott, pile on that and I'm going to look at my list of courses. Yeah.
Because of the book element of it, because I'm going to write a book, I think, when we're finished with this, I think it needs to really focus on a lot on public courses. Mike and I are very blessed, having spent the amount of time between us as we have in the golf industry and knowing the people we do, we could probably get out at most private clubs along the way. The problem is if you pick up the book to read it, the average golfer isn't going to be able to do that. So we need to have a really healthy amount of public golf courses in it. We're going to probably divert and play a couple of privates along the way. We've got a couple of really good connections in Oklahoma. One of the courses in Oklahoma I'm really looking forward to, and I hope we get the chance to play it, is the Patriot Golf Club in Ossawa. I was fortunate, Tony and I, one of the other guys going on the trip, we played American Dunes in Grand Haven, Michigan. And I don't know if you know about it, Dan, if you're familiar with it, I've been fortunate to play a lot of great golf courses in my life. It's one of the greatest golf experiences I've ever had. It's the home of Folds of Honor. It's owned by Lieutenant Colonel Van Rooney and founded Folds of Honor. And Patriot Golf Club in Owosso, Oklahoma, is the sister course to that. So hope we get a chance to play that.
And Dan knows I've played it. We played it in a Morton Cup. It was awesome.
You played Patriot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Yes.
Yeah. It's always interesting hearing these, like, the focus that you have when it comes to, if I go to this city, I need to play this golf course. And we always have these great conversations on the THB community of what's the can't miss course? What's your favorite course? What's the course that everyone knows about that you want to play? We also have discussions on types of designers. Who's the course designer you can't miss? But there's always this wide spectrum of perspective that goes into it. And it almost makes it challenging. Like if you come to my city, I'm going to tell you something differently than, say, someone who's in the same room but doesn't share the same perspective that I have. So I would imagine there's a challenge to that. And Mike, I think clearly based on the fact that you're referring to the digital brain power to get this done, you felt the pressure here to get it right on the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Well, it's funny in listening to people that have done it. I've got a couple buddies who've done it. I have a friend who's literally doing it right this second. He is driving from here to Chicago for his high school reunion in his Corvette with a high school buddy who flew back from Illinois, jumped in the vet with him, and they're on the road right this second. I had dinner with him, his wife, my wife, and the wives are like, we would never in a trillion years do that trip, right? Like, no, you couldn't get me to get in that car. And his wife's a lovely human being. Andrea is like no effing way am I getting in that car and driving 2,500 miles with my husband. Like, no way. And he and I were like giddy about it. We're super excited. So yeah, there is a little bit of the, hey, these are the things we really want to hit. And there's like 10 or 15 things that are like almost must sees. But then the rest of it is winging it. And everyone who's done it and all the research I've done says that's the best way to do it, because you just don't know what you're going to see. You stop at a diner and somebody in the diner says, hey, at the stop sign on the edge of the town, take a right and go down this little path, and it's going to open up this huge valley, and it's going to be a, you know, huge vista sweeping view, right? It's worth just driving a half mile to see that. And you're not going to know that until you talk to people. And Scott is a talker. I am a talker. So I have no qualms with us being able to find those little hidden gems. So
have to work on coming out of our shell.
A little bit. So some of it planned and some of it winged, and everyone says that's the best way to do it. So back to the golf courses, I'm looking right now on the thread that I started in the forum, and there's been a couple really good suggestions, like Patty Boy 21. Thank you very much. There's a couple courses in New Mexico that he mentions that are like, this is a great course, worth playing. So one of them's Rainmaker, is a great course. Mountain Gods is worth playing if it's in good shape, he says, in Arizona, the Sedona Golf Resort. So we're getting all sorts of suggestions from readers, listeners, and followers. Thank you very much. And keep piling on, because as Scott has said, we're winging it, but not winging it. Right. So keep the suggestions coming, please.
I started this idea, a couple years ago on THP, and it only worked for one trip, and I sort of just continued to live my life afterwards. But the idea was, let's pick a city that not everyone talks about going to. Mm-hmm. And let's find what kind of golf they have. And it was Knoxville, Tennessee was where we ended up deciding to go. So we got this random Airbnb in the middle of nowhere near Knoxville. And I sat on Google for 2 weeks just typing in different areas golf and seeing what the courses look like, looking up the reviews, seeing pictures of the course, deciding whether they'd be worth to play or not. And we turned it into a weekend. We played, I think, 3 or 4 rounds. We got a couple introductions to courses from people who are local. But I recognize the sort of obsession that comes into that, because you have no idea where you're going, but you also are kind of curious, like, just how good can we make this? Yeah. And it turned out that one of the courses we played, and I can't believe I'm blanking on the name right now, was this random one that was way outside the city. It was far enough out where the price was decent and they couldn't go full private, but it deserved every bit of that. The layout was excellent. The experience was excellent. And it's one of those ones that'll stick with me for a long time. But no one who says, you know, I'm going to Tennessee for golf, they're like, hey, you got to go to this course in this random bit of nowhere. And I feel like you have the opportunity to do that, but it's on such a grander scale. It makes me wonder, like, how challenging really is it to feel like you're slipping through the cracks, at least from the golf perspective.
I have the same thoughts right now, because I'm thinking about, like, I grew up in Iowa, right? And there's some golf courses in that state that if I plopped you down there and you played around the golf, be like, wow, that was an awesome experience. Like, damn near championship golf course, spectacular shape, beautiful big oak trees, right? You would never hear that course in a million years. If you Googled it, you may not find it. Okay. So yeah, that is a little bit of a concern. The cool thing though is, right, we're going to be in the car for hours at a time. So as much as we've got the trip planned out, we start doing what you just described, Dan, and we could find those hidden gems. We could find that one that's 4.5 stars and it's, you know, $45 for 9 holes and you get a beer and a burger with it too. I'm looking forward to all of that.
So paint a picture a little bit on timeline. Like, you have a couple weeks with which to do it, but there's also a very specific amount of distance you need to travel. I assume in certain parts of the route, there are decent gaps between things that are really relevant or not. How do you have that preset right now? What's the plan there?
Well, I've kind of sketched it out a little bit. We do have one hard end date. We've got a tee time, how should I describe it? A well-known club in LA We've got it set on the 29th, but I've asked him if he can move it to the 30th. So we have to be in LA by the 29th or the 30th, the night prior. So it's night of the 28th or the night of the 29th. And in between, you know, you start, it's funny, you know, Mike's obviously very, very analytical and very, very good at that. You start thinking automatically of things like, well, how many days can we average per state and how much time can we take and all that kind of stuff. And if you try to do it that way, you're going to drive yourself crazy because there's just too many unknowns, right? We don't know. You know, one of the things I told Mike is I think we need to limit as far as the attraction stuff goes, not the golf, but the attraction stuff. We got to limit ourselves to half an hour per stop. Well, a lot of that stuff is a 5-minute stop. It's okay. We see the 60-foot tall guy who looks like a muffler. Great. We take a picture of it. It's very cool. We move on. Some of the stuff like the barbed wire, like the devil's, what is it? The devil's wire, devil's rope museum, which is a museum dedicated to barbed wire, right? Who knew? But that's going to be fun. We're probably going to go through the museum. That's probably an hour and a half, but who knows? We will know when we get there and we'll figure it out. Some stuff is probably going to have to get dropped that we want to see. Some stuff we're going to add in because we stopped at Sally's Diner in the middle of nowhere in the panhandle of Texas. And she said, you can't miss this. Yeah. You know, so that kind of stuff, I really do believe it's just going to kind of work itself out. And the four of us in one vehicle, we got a driver. Next name is a navigator, literally just helping us. Because one of the challenges to this, believe it or not, is going to be staying on Route 66 itself. Because my understanding is, what is it, Mike? About 85% of it is still drivable. The other 15% is either incorporated into a freeway or an interstate system, or it simply doesn't exist anymore. So it's going to be, there are parts of this trip where it's going to be a little bit of a challenge to stay on the actual Route 66, which is what we want to do. But also, the flip side of that coin is, it is the 100th anniversary of Route 66. And there are a lot of places, like, for instance, Tony was just in, ironically, last week in Springfield, Missouri, which has been named as the birthplace of Route 66. Now, I would have thought it would have been Chicago or maybe Santa Monica, but it's actually Springfield, Missouri. So, you know, they're places like that are doing a lot. They're kind of honoring the 100th anniversary, and they're kind of putting some money into it and tourism dollars, and they're trying to kind of pump it up a little bit. So as far as staying on the road, it's going to be challenging sometimes, but I think we'll figure it out. And then the two guys in the back seat, I imagine one of them will be starting to look at places to eat, and the other one will be looking at places to stay. This is another challenge with it. When you look at the motels and the drive-ins and stuff that dot Route 66 all along the way, we can't really make reservations because we don't know for sure where we're going to be at any given time. We know ballpark, you know, we know within 24 or 48 hours, but you can't make hotel reservations that way, right? You know, I think we'll figure it out. And I think Mike would agree on this. One thing that's been an absolute godsend so far on this has been AI. Because one of the things I did, for instance, in Oklahoma, we actually, because we've got so many opportunities in Oklahoma, we're probably going to be there 3 days. So what I did was I went on Claude. I use them all, Claude, Chat, GPT, Grok, I use them all. I went on Claude and I said, give me 3 iconic Route 66 motels in the eastern part of Oklahoma, 3 in the central part of Oklahoma, and 3 in the western part of Oklahoma. Now, when we hit Oklahoma, depending on where we're going to sleep because of what time we got off a golf course or we were delayed because of rain, whatever, if we're in the center, I got 3 hotels I can call up to go, hey, you got a couple of rooms. We're doing this trip. You got a couple of rooms we can get tonight. So I think that's a big help.
Yeah. I think the point that was made earlier was about how the wife doesn't want to get in a car for 2,500 miles in a Corvette. And I certainly get that, but it sounds way more daunting in that way. But when you have half a month to do it and you really only need to travel a couple hundred miles a day, it starts to really open up the possibilities. And I think that's the one thing that's sort of missed here is, I mean, you could stretch it to 300 miles one day and then you can really screw around for half a day and make up a ton of time from in terms of a distance perspective. So it is nice that you have that kind of freedom there, but at the same time, it's not as daunting when you make it, you know, 15 days worth of potential travel or staying in the same spot for a day because you're so obsessed with barbed wire, you had to go back a second time. Like, who knows? I've met Mike. That happens with him.
It's going to happen. It's going to, I'm going to take the over under it twice during the trip. Yeah. Where Scott has to pull me out of
any place that's got like any kind of an aerospace angle to it. Cause if we were, we might lose him. I mean, we might get in the cars, only three of us. Where's he at?
The Route 66 Alien Museum in New Mexico. Yeah. That could be 2 days. That could be 2 days. Yeah. So Dan, you nailed it, right? Like you summarized the whole thing. As much as you could stress out about like, oh my God, we have a plan. Well, shit, we're only going to be driving for a couple hours a day, right? Yeah. So we can do a lot of winging. And actually that was encouraged too. It's like, hey, just have fun, wing it. And there's only a couple of hotels along the way. There's one, I think, in Arizona that's really famous. And they said that one you might want to book a week in advance. Okay. Everything else, you can pretty much wing it. And it's the fall, right? So unless you're going through a major college town and everything's booked, well, I don't, because of football, you know, school's back in session, vacations are over. It shouldn't be that daunting to find places to stay.
Yeah, and this is what Tony and I did when we did the trip to Ireland in 1998. I scripted the beginning and the end. We stayed two nights in a hotel in Dublin. We had two nights in a hotel in Galway, I believe it was. And in between, all I knew was that every town in Ireland has multiple bed and breakfasts, and it's a big part of their tourism culture. So I just said, when we leave Dublin, we drive into the next town and we just find a B&B and we stay there. We've done some research on like what were some of the better known ones, what were good reviews and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you go into a small town in Ireland, there might be a half a dozen B&Bs in a place that has 300 people living. And so this is going to be similar. There's a lot of these hotels along the way, right? Got to make sure we don't get one with bed bugs, but every trip has its own risks, right? So
the Bates motel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, my mom, Bates, we're not stopping.
Yeah, my mom, she's as harmless as these birds.
Like they've got great cutlery there.
So I bought a bunch of stuff, right? So I got this one, which if anybody's watching, I'll tell them, and they're listening. It's an EZ66 guide, right? And this thing's phenomenal. Each page is literally a couple of miles, like maybe 5-10 miles. And it might literally say, you know, something like, hey, if you've driven past the Smith Ranch, you've gone too far. You have to back up a half a mile and take a right. Because as Scott said, Route 66 was decommissioned a couple of years ago. Yeah. So there's a lot of places where the signs are just gone, right? So you need to know the name of the road to take the turn. And there's going to be other places where it's fairly well marked.
Yeah. And that is the other big component of this is you think about a road trip. Typically it's big highway and, you know, things go by, nothingness goes by fairly quickly. And you only really recognize that when you either have to pee or need gas, that there's some pretty solid gaps in some of these areas. But I'm not super familiar with Route 66 from a like full on stretch kind of concept. So it based on your research right now, are there fairly notable gaps between like are there areas where there really is just not a lot of anything?
I think it's going to be the places where you would think it would be, like stretches of Texas, right?
Yeah.
Arizona, New Mexico, where, you know, it's arid, it's dry. So there's no people, there's no nothing, right? I think that's going to be the biggest deal. As you're going through Illinois and Missouri and whatnot, those are gonna go through little towns. There's gonna be people everywhere.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the stretch from Springfield to Illinois to St. Louis, Missouri, there's not a lot in there. Not in that traction wise. And there's not a lot there at golf either, believe me. I've checked. Yeah. So we sketched our first few days. We're playing we're kicking it off with a round at Cog Hill, number 4, Dubs Dread, one of my favorite golf courses in the Chicago area. Former home of the Western Open, was seriously, it's owned by the Jemsek family, and it was seriously considered for a U.S. Open back in the 90s, and is probably still good enough to host one if it ever gets the opportunity. They're a great golf family, own a bunch of courses in the Chicago area, Cantini and some others. And then we were going to try to play around Springfield, both of those courses that were recommended. And by the way, one of the sources that we looked at was sticksonsixtysix.com. which is a website that's got it doesn't have a lot of information, but it would have in Illinois. I think it had, what did it have, Mike? About a dozen courses in Illinois.
Yeah.
Starting in Chicago and working south to St. Louis that you could look at. So it gave us at least a starting point. And then we're playing our second round at Gateway National Golf Links, which is about 10 minutes outside of St. Louis. Made me think last night it could be East St. Louis, which might not be, is not a really great area, if you know, the Midwest at all. But supposedly has beautiful views of the St. Louis Arch and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And then after that, we're still working on it. We've got some courses picked out that we want to play that, you know, I don't think we've reached out to yet, mostly because we don't know for sure when we're going to be there.
Yeah.
There are going to be some stretches like that. The beauty of stretches where there's nothing for us to stop and see is we can make up time.
Yeah.
I didn't have a radar detector for the trip. So
are there specific courses that you have in your head that are further down the trip that you really desperately want to get on and want to make sure you experience?
What do you think, Mike?
Well, I'm looking at my list right now. Right. You've already mentioned the Patriot.
And I just moved to Arizona about 4 months ago. I used to live in Southern Cal. And there's a course up here, the course that I've picked for us to play. And again, none of this is a dictatorship. I mean, Mike and I, because he and I have had the most time to work on this. We split up the eight states 4 and 4. Tony's busy with a new job and he just bought another house and stuff. So he's doing Illinois, but he and I are kind of double teaming Illinois, but we split up the states. So the course I picked in Arizona, it's called Elephant Rocks. It's in Williams and it's gotten really good reviews. People say it's beautiful and people forget Northern Arizona. People, when you say Arizona, people think desert. Very true. But people forget that Flagstaff, the whole stretch of where Route 66 goes in Northern Arizona, Flagstaff's 7,200 feet high. And Williams is only about 25 miles west of that. So it's probably 7,000 feet. So the elevation is going to be, it's going to be a beautiful time of year to be there. I've heard really good things about it. I'm looking forward to it. But what I started to say was this, none of this on any of the states or the trip is a dictatorship, right? We can, we talk about it. If I think we should play Elephant Rocks, but the other three guys want to play another course, fine. The only rule we got to kind of stick to is wherever we play has got to be near Route 66. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, we could, in Kansas, for instance, even though we're in there for such a short amount of time, we're going to play a round of golf. The closest 18-hole golf course is probably 50 miles from where we're going to be. There's, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower is from Kansas, and he's got a presidential museum there. There's probably a golf course around there because he was a big golfer.
Yeah.
That's probably, I mean, who knows how far that is from Route 66. It's not going to be something we're going to do because it's simply too far off the beaten path. It's not a lack of desire to do it. It just doesn't fit in with the trip schedule.
Yeah. And if I pick a couple that I've heard a lot about or through the research or friends, right? I don't know how to pronounce it, but it could be Paco Ridge in near Albuquerque. It's about 30 miles south of Route 66, and it's consistently ranked in the top 100 public golf courses in the nation, right? And they said it's dramatic mountain golf. That sounds fun.
I could be talked into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 30 miles, it's fine.
Yeah. So the other problem is you're giving Mike too much time in a car to talk you into something. That's that's great. Maybe
sure the music's like going. New Mexico. Yeah. It's like going to Wisconsin. You zip in, you zip out.
Yeah, you zip out. No big deal. Yeah.
It's going to be pretty painful playing from 7,000 feet, then going to sea level. That's going to be an emotional ride in itself.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Are you excited about the different types of golf you're going to experience? Because certainly Cog Hill to Arizona to California. Yeah. Are three wildly different components. And it's something I love to talk about is how much golf can change depending on not just the layout, but also the ground that you're around, the temperature you play in, the elevation you're at. I'm firmly in team death to Bermuda, but listen, I get that it's a reality in most places that have hot air.
Yeah, I am looking forward to taking a divot and seeing black soil, like true black soil. I'm so excited about that. I grew up in the Midwest, right? Mm-hmm. Black soil, bent grass greens that are just perfect. We're gonna experience that in the first like 2.5 states, which will be heaven for me. So yes, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
and I'm already used to the drier, hot mountain sort of golf out here. The stuff in between. Oklahoma's going to be beautiful too.
Yeah.
But then when you get into the desert stuff, that's going to feel more like my, you know, current home. So yes, I am really looking forward to the drama that's going to sweep from here through there. Yeah.
And isn't that one of the things that makes this game so great? Is the variety of kinds of golf courses, the variety of designers. You know, there's just so much that makes it interesting and different. And we all know you can play the same course and play it differently under different conditions. It's going to be a different experience, right? So mm-hmm. to play all these different courses and all these places, one of the things I was hoping for, and trust me, I'm not saying this to name drop, but I've been fortunate to get to know Hale Irwin a little bit. And Hale is originally, I thought he was originally from St. Louis, but I was talking to him about this trip, and he actually grew up in Braxton Springs in Kansas, this little place we're going to play. And it's a 9-hole course. And he was talking about growing up playing that golf course. And one of the things I was really hoping was that they still had the sand greens that he played on when he was a kid. They don't, unfortunately, but that would have been fun. I've never experienced that, but it would have been pretty cool to try it.
I wonder if there's any hackers that even understand what that means. When somebody says sand greens.
Sand greens, I
yeah,
know.
This is, what percentage of Hackers Paradise members would go, oh, I get that.
So we all have the internet. You know, we've seen the videos. I think I saw one in like Australia where they rake it and then putt it. Yeah. It looks pretty interesting. The other part of that
also.
Other part of that is you have a chance of putting dirt from eight different states on your golf clubs. So the question that I have, I'm a golf club cleaning purist. There's never a shot I hit that has dirt in a groove, but I would maybe potentially, if not one club, all clubs, let them just slowly cake in with eight states worth of dirt. What have you put any thought into that yet?
Well, I found when I was cleaning out my garage last week, these really nice little bottles that have a cork on the top of them, like glass bottles about that big around. I'm going to go baseball for just a second. Okay. And Scott's a big baseball guy. So I take my son to a Padres game. This must have been 10 years ago. No, not that long, probably 8 years ago. And he gets to run the bases and they let him on at first base and they run first, second, third, all the way to home. He does it. I then scurry off to home plate to get a picture of him coming in because that's where the parents have to go. And I kid you not, that dude, he stomps on the home plate. He puts his hands on his hips. He takes three big deep breaths and he looks around the entire stadium, right? As if he just hit a home run. And I actually probably was in tears. And then he reaches down and grabs a handful of dirt because he understood, even at like age 6 or 5, whatever he was, right? He understood the implication of where he was standing. And he clutched that freaking hand of dirt all the way home and I put it in a little bottle. So I bought these bottles and I'm going to bring 8 of them. And I'm going to put sand or dirt or something from each state into those bottles for sure.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll get a kit for all of us, Scott. Yeah.
I haven't told you this yet, Mike, but the fourth guy, Mike LaRue, he is Tony's brother-in-law. Mike has a goal of playing golf in all 50 states. I don't know how many he's made so far, but one of the reasons he's going on this trip is it's going to give him a chance to tick off probably Kansas, maybe Texas, certainly New Mexico, et cetera. And I found out, so he and Tony are from the Chicago area. So we're working through the logistics. And when we get to LA, when we're finished with the trip, got to get them to the airport, fly back. And Tony stopped me. He goes, no, Mike's actually thinking about renting a car and driving back so that he can hit more states.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm sure he's going north because I got a feeling he's never played Wyoming or Montana or the Dakotas. So he'll probably go that way. You might want
to get up in the sandhills.
You might not want to take a lot of time in those courses because it's going to be starting to get to the time of the year where it's going to start getting cold.
Wow. Do you tell him to get a Corvette? That's the play, right?
Rent the Vet. Absolutely.
Rent the Vet. It's got to be an American made vehicle. Let's say that too. And I like the Vet play. Yeah.
I want to
1966 Vet.
I want to shift a little bit because we've talked golf and obviously it makes perfect sense, but what I've noticed with people is golf is a starting point and there's a lot of other things that really matter outside of that. You've mentioned some of the museums that are around, but people are also big time into food. And I assume that while you're chasing diners, is there a food aspect to this at all? Or is it like, what's the best local food on the way?
I think it's just that. I think it's just what's the best local food on the way and what's their best dish.
My intention would be, I haven't shared this with Scott, it's like when we get into a small town, we stop at the very first gas station that looks like it's been there for 100 years, right? Yeah. And we put a little gas in, pump $2 in if we have to, and then ask the dude, you know, who may have three teeth, okay, where are we going for lunch, dude? Right? Right? You're going to Maggie's. You're going to Maggie's Diner. Get the pork tenderloin sandwich. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's, jeez.
That's, I, you know, I've done that my entire, I'm kind of an old soul, and I would much rather pull into a diner than to a fast food place.
Oh,
always.
Too. Any day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm going to fall out of my chair if we get a waitress named Flo.
Oh, there's a whole nother aspect of this thing. Okay. For all of the young at heart or youngins in their homes, because of, well, actually, I was already a huge Cars fan before I would even marry him.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah. The whole Cars theme, just, yeah. Scott doesn't know it yet, but he's going to see it. I already have a Lightning McQueen and a Mater, and I may add a couple more. They're going to be attached to the dash of the car.
Okay.
Every traveler needs a plastic Jesus on their dashboard. And in this case, sorry, good Lord.
Freeze, as long good. As I got my plastic Jesus.
That's right.
In my car.
And in this case, car, it's going to be a Lightning McQueen on the dash.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll have to play Rascal Flatts as we're driving.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we've got that part of this is playlist, right? I've got a playlist in Amazon Music that's probably, I don't know, 500 songs. Not all of them are appropriate Route 66 songs, but there's so many songs that are perfect for road trips.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of, it's part of that Americana thing. The other thing, Dan, to your point, you brought up the Corvette a couple of times, and trust me, you're killing me because I'd love to do this in a Corvette or even in a Porsche. But the problem is, the reality is, we've got to take a minivan because we have four guys. We got suitcases for 2 weeks of travel, and we got four golf bags and four travel bags. So yeah, it's just, unfortunately, it's got to be that, but you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a blast. I'll tell you what, I would like the over under on whether I'm still alive when we get to the end of the
you know,
someplace in New Mexico and nobody would know.
I have an interesting call out to an experience we had together, Mike, when I actually drove to Morgan Cup. We were both in, both victorious in, by the way, might I add, in 2019. And it took me up the coastline of the East Coast. And in my travels, as random as this might be, I actually found the photo in my
Wow.
Oh,
it's Mater.
See that. Yeah, it's actually
totally Mater.
Someone made Toe Mater. It was on the random side of a highway, and I stopped because at the time my son was way into cars, and I stopped. I was like, I have to take a photo of this. He will never believe me. And that's the kind of stuff I like finding, is just this absolute pure randomness as you go along places that people don't normally go.
Multiply that times 100. I mean, this trip is 2,448 miles. That's without the side excursions. It's going to probably be 3,000 miles. How many of those things are we going to encounter over the 2 weeks we're doing this?
I'm betting a few.
It's going to happen all the time. So, in fact, we might. One of the rules we have, which we might actually have to violate the first morning, is no backtracking. We're going to really try not to go back at all.
Okay.
But I can certainly see situations where I'm driving and Lake Yagley yells, stop, we got to go see that. I got to throw it in reverse, make sure there's nobody behind me, throw it in reverse and pull off at this next exit.
And you're going to throw it in a Mater mode, the world's best backwards driver, or the world's fastest backwards driver.
Well, at least they have cameras in them now. I have one more question. This is really random, and you... It could go either way. One part of this, being that it's 100 years, is there are very historical places that exist along the way. And part of that, and I've watched a lot of YouTube, don't get me wrong, the level of paranormal associated things is pretty big in some of these older places that have been around for forever. Have you vetted any of these considered places as to whether there's like some other stuff going on at night there?
Oh yeah, there's a couple of haunted hotels. Those would be my votes, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Wait, are you voting to stay there?
Oh hell yes. Yeah.
I'll sleep in the minivan.
But it's funny how like some of these historical places that traditionally would house people, travelers, do have that sort of haunted association with it. And when you talk about you don't want to stay in a chain, inevitably you end up in places like that that people might claim. And I'll relate this to myself. We stayed up, over 10 years ago, we stayed up in Northeast Ohio in a very old home that was repurposed as effectively a stay and play house for people who went to this golf course. And I swear to you, the moments I experienced were very interesting. And it wasn't until I looked later on, I was like, oh man, there might've been some stuff going on there. But that's what you end up with when you're trying to stay away from a Holiday Inn Express. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm all in. Yeah. I lived in a haunted house, a legitimately haunted house in La Costa. It was full on. There were ghosts, right? And they were moderately friendly ghosts, but it was full on. So yeah, I'm a believer.
So you got a whole nother conversation yeah. point during the trip is the skepticism versus reality. It's going to be, we've added a dimension for you that you were not aware of, Mr. Walsh.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun with that.
It's one of the things we'll adjust and we're going to be like Marines. What is it? What's the Marine motto? Adjust, improvise.
Execute.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. It sounds crazy. It sounds awesome. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun if we can talk Mike into posting a fair bit, or you guys posting a fair bit on THP. We'd love to follow you along the way.
And if anybody's got recommendations for us along the way, please post them.
Yeah.
We're watching them.
I know we stepped away from the golf, but just going back to the golf for just a second, like this, right? So I'm looking at Missouri right now, and it's like, there's three options that are amazing, and they're all like anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes off the Route 66. There's a Tiger Woods design in Payne's Valley. There's a Fazio design in Buffalo Ridge. And then Nicholas has a Top of the Rock golf course, right? And so listeners and followers, right? If there's some recommendations you have, please let us know. It's like, nah, don't play that one. Play this one because it's kick ass. Whatever it is, we'll take the recommendations. Yeah.
The ones that usually give you more feeling are the ones that one person tells you about. You cannot miss this. Like, it's better than just going to Google and finding out, right? If one person's that committed, it makes you want to make the play. So a nice call out to the members who are local to the trip.
Yeah.
Let them know. Let them know the place that you think is a can't miss along the way. And don't be upset if they don't play, but definitely get excited if they do.
Golf, food, and lodging. All three and sites, right? All four of those, right?
Yeah,
and anything. We'll
people,
take it.
And people.
Yeah. Go see Maynard.
You gotta talk to in wherever the hell Texas. Tell us.
Yeah.
We'll find the guy.
Yeah.
That's great.
As for following along, so here's Scott hasn't heard this yet. So I'm gonna keep a Google sheet of all of our golf, and I intend for us to have a little friendly competition, and I think the daily wager should be dinner, and we'll play two-man teams, right? And we'll switch them up every day and have a little friendly competition. Friendly competition.
Got to have a match play one day.
Yes. Yeah. And
you know, that's the one thing I haven't asked you about yet is whether there's a competitive aspect to this and or what the state of everyone's golf game is right now. What is the expectation on the course?
Well, there's Master Yagley and there's the other three of us. So it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. That's the reality of it. None of us are great. I mean, Mike is the best golfer of the four of us without question. Although I haven't seen Mike LaRue play, so he could be good. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can speak for Tony and I. Mike's safe. So it'll be fun. We'll be getting strokes from Mike.
That's why we have handicaps. That's why we're going to have a blast.
But it
sounds like a couple moments. If he says the wrong thing, it's going to be 3v1, not 2v2.
It could happen.
That's great. Well, I love the dinner aspect of it, and especially if it adds a little bit of fuel to the fire, having a bit of fun, you know, and enjoying the course the way it's intended to be played, but also adding a piece. Like, I really need to, I can't take today off. I need to play well. The last thing I want to do is watch him eat apple pie on my dime.
Apple pie is going to taste so good.
Well,
we're going to use that quote. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, no worries.
One thing we had talked about doing, but I don't think it's going to happen, is the big Texan restaurant in Amarillo, where they've got the 72-ounce steak and what is a 72-ounce steak, baked potato salad, and a shrimp cocktail. If you eat it in an hour, it's free. You can't see the rest of me. I'm 6'2", 220. I ain't trying that.
It'll be a shared plate.
The rest of the second half of the trip. So,
well, what a great time. Scott, any final thoughts or things you're really hoping for you haven't mentioned yet about the trip?
No, I'm just, you know, these three guys that are going with me, I'm just blessed to call them friends. I don't throw that word around lightly. And it's going to be, it's going to be an epic thing. It's going to be, you know, I mean, it's got everything that we love, right? It's got male camaraderie. It's got cars. It's got road trip. It's got golf. It's got Americana and history. I think it's just going to be a blast.
Michael, any thoughts from you as we wrap today?
I agree with all of that. I haven't met Mike and Tony yet, but I trust Scott implicitly. I'm excited about all of that. I'm curious as to, you know, like what kind of sounds and smells are going to be coming from that van, because it's four men in a van eating, like I said, pork rinds and drinking big gulps.
But I don't think it'll be Spicoli-like.
It won't be that bad. No. And then planes, trains, and automobiles, that's not a pillow, you know, that kind of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. Like, my family's even engaged. Like, they're excited. I don't know if they're like excited for daddy to be gone or excited for daddy to have a great trip. But either way. Yeah.
And given the age we all are, we're all in our early 60s. I've already packed the Advil and the Aleve. Tons of that available.
I love it. Well, yeah. I appreciate you guys for bringing us along for the ride. And Scott, I can't wait to see what comes out of this for you. It sounds like you're really focused on creating something more after the fact here. But also, I love this like sort of push from you guys and encouragement for us to go and do something like this. People don't realize how comfortable they get in their own home. And now I'm a part of a big golf community, and we're so localized that we haven't been doing enough in this. So, you know, maybe this encourages more people to get out and try new things and try a new city, maybe take a crazy road trip, whatever it might be, to experience more of the game around the U.S.
I was thinking about it just like in your own state, right? Hell, if I live in Illinois, just take Route 66 down to St. Louis and come back up and just see all the stuff along the way. Yeah. So if you're in one of those states, just, you know, take a couple hours, take a day, take the trip.
Yeah. Or if you're not along Route 66, if you're along Route 30, right? Lincoln Highway goes coast to coast, and it goes, it's much further north, but it goes through the Chicago area. Take Route 30 in your state, or go to the state below you or above you, whatever, and just play golf along the way.
Yeah. Love it. Thanks, gentlemen. And if you folks are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make it count. And pay attention on the THB forums, because it sounds like Mike will actually be updating us along the way, seeing some of the sites and Sheridan's experiences. And, you know, take a chance. Start a trip with a buddy. Oh, he has accessories. He's got stuff. We'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, everybody. Don Brown from Project X, back here with another episode of Shaft University. This week's question is about two products in our line that both launched low and both have the same color, Titan Black and Denali Frost Black. And how similar are they? Or really, the bigger question is, how different are they? And the answer is a lot. Our Titan Black has a completely different EI profile than anything we've done before, and really anything else out there on the marketplace. We have a really cool EI comparison tool where we can do a match of any shaft to another shaft. With most shafts out there in the marketplace, we can find another EI profile that's a 95% plus match to the existing EI profile. Titan's nearest match is an 80% profile, and that's another Titan. The closest match of anything else in our line is about 60%. So it is a completely different profile than anything we've had before, including that Denali Frost Black. Now, what does that mean for you? If you're more of a tempo player, you're really going to like that Denali Frost still. That's actually what I play. I love that shaft. I've got that stability material on the tip end. Helps on those off-center hits. Titan's a completely different beast. It's got a very, very soft handle, but then it gets very stiff very fast. So if you like a little more feel in your golf shaft, the Denali's probably the one for you. If you want that telephone pole, but you want to feel it load a little bit more and pick up a little ball speed, then you want to look at the Titan. I hope that helps. Talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.